This is The Difference, a podcast for nonprofit fundraising in a for-profit world, presented by Convergent Nonprofit Solutions, a leader in nonprofit fundraising. Convergent's professionals can help your nonprofit secure sustainable funding now and for the future.
Welcome to The Difference. Good to have you with us today. We're welcoming one of our clients, Bonnie Lowe. Bonnie is the CEO of the Chamber of Lawrence, Kansas. Bonnie's just kicked off the public phase of a campaign after Convergent being on site conducting the private or quiet phase of the campaign. $2.5 million is the goal. It's called Rising Together. And the campaign was done in conjunction with the Lawrence Economic Development Commission. I have Andy Coe with us, who is a sales officer and principal of Convergent Nonprofit Solutions, who has the client relationship with Bonnie and her team, and Paul Santiago, senior project director for Convergent, who was on the ground managing the campaign. So we're going to talk about the various elements that made this campaign a success. We're very curious to know how Rising Together managed to rise. Bonnie, why don't you give us some of your thoughts about this campaign?
I'd be pleased to do so, Jay, and thanks for asking me to attend this podcast. So the process is very informative. Every 5 years, we look at a feasibility study and consider a capital campaign. And so at the end of this year, in 2021, will be the final year of our previous campaign. The first quarter of this year, we conducted a feasibility study and engaged with Convergent Nonprofit Solutions to test our plan. So with a feasibility study, others on our team put together what our goals were. They were updated from 5 years ago, and the typical business attraction, business retention and expansion, number of jobs and that type of thing. And what we ended up with 10 versions later was a considerable different plan than the feasibility study started as. And one of the great things about hiring a company such as Convergent is that they tested our plan and they tested us. They needed to find out in the community if people would be engaged with our plan, engaged with our leadership, pleased with our past performance and the opportunity to do well in the future. And those conversations are confidential, but I'll let Andy and Paul talk a little bit about that, because I think overall it was well received, and the Rising Together support that we've received from our community has been very stimulating, and it's exciting for us, and we're very grateful for the support.
I wanted you to comment on something that Bonnie said about having gone through 10 iterations or so of the project's goals, what they wanted to accomplish over the next 5 years. So how does Convergent undertake that process, Paul?
Well, what we did is we took the feedback, as Bonnie mentioned, put together a group of individuals that served on their executive committee and also some stakeholders, and brought them into a room over, actually we had three meetings over a 3 week period, and really dove into the plan. What we found during the feasibility study is that Bonnie and her team had earned asking rights, as we like to say, because they did such an outstanding job during the pandemic. But obviously when we conducted this at the beginning of 2021, the country was still coming out of the pandemic and trying to find out what the new normal was. So what they were looking for are things that they wanted to support the organization, but they wanted to see some investable outcomes. And so during that process, we really sharpened the pencil with the people in the room. And as Bonnie mentioned, the plan actually changed. And we wound up focusing on one of their key components, wound up being housing and land development, because of some of the issues they were facing with the housing in the community. So we totally revamped the plan. The key was that Bonnie and her team were willing to change on a dime, so to speak, compared to what we had taken out into the community. And I think that's one of the things that is important for the success of any campaign, especially in the early stages, because when you go back and make a presentation to a prospective investor or a previous investor, they get to see that Bonnie and her team listened to their needs and concerns. And I think that's one of the things that helps springboard us to a very successful campaign.
Paul, you used a couple of buzzwords, and I'd like Andy to address them. We in Convergent know these words inside and out, but some of our listeners may not be familiar with asking rights and investable outcomes. How do you define those, Andy?
Well, asking rights really gets back to, do stakeholders in the community have faith in the organization specifically being the staff and also the board of directors? To me, it means, would they be willing to write a big check to fund the program of work? And are they confident in the people that are behind the organization to follow through with the plan and make sure that the goals and benchmarks are realized? And to Paul's point, the organization tested with flying colors. Having said that, the plan itself, it did resonate within the community, but there were definitely some things that were not included in the initial plan that the community was looking for some additional focus. The beauty about the staff, honestly, being willing to listen and take the extra time and effort. It's not often, honestly, sometimes organizations, they just want to run out and start asking for money. Bonnie was very intentional about making sure that the final plan resonated within the community. And that's very cliche, but very true, that if your stakeholders help write the plan, when you come back and ask for a check, they'll help underwrite the plan because they feel that they that you've listened, that the organization has listened, and they have their fingerprints all over the plan and that they're engaged and bought in. Because if you listen and you know you customize the plan to meet the needs of the community, now they're bought in and they'll help write a check to see it to fruition.
Bonnie, I would imagine that investable outcomes that were part of your plan had specific goals or numbers attached to them, number of jobs that you hope to create. So was that important to make sure that your potential investors saw demonstrable or specific goals?
Yes, absolutely, Jay. One of the strengths of our community are our collaborative partnerships we have with our stakeholders. The city of Lawrence, Douglas County, University of Kansas and their various entities, the KU Innovation Park and others with the Chamber and the Economic Development Corporation work exceptionally well with each other. And that relationship building and the trust that we have in each other, I think was shown through the successful campaign. One of our honorary chairs was the chancellor of the university. Another was the mayor of our community. So the support that was exemplified in our capital campaign was really helpful. And I have to say very quickly that during the pandemic, we had a unified command group of local leaders, and there are seven of us, and how we worked effectively during the pandemic and grew our personal and business relationships even stronger was very, very helpful for this campaign. So the timing was interesting, and it ended up working very well in our favor.
I would imagine that developing that relationship that you spoke about, some of it must have occurred virtually. Give me some more thought, and Paul, chime in as well, the virtual portion of this campaign and the development of relationships. How did that work?
Well, we initially, Andy and I conducted, during the feasibility study phase, the interviews on site, and then we did a number of interviews via Zoom. But again, it happened to be that time frame in the spring when the vaccine was available and people were emerging and getting back out in public again. And what wound up occurring was I wound up being on site when we started the campaign and during the quiet phase, as we like to call it. I was on site pretty much for better part of about 6 months. That worked out well, but we were ready to go via Zoom or in person.
Bonnie, how important was it to have that on-site, in-person presence of Paul?
It was so important. And when I think back to the RFP stages, when we interviewed Convergent and a few other companies to engage in this capital campaign, we were, as a leadership team with the chamber, we were discussing, what does that hybrid look like? I didn't know Andy, I didn't know Paul prior to this. Why would I have the confidence to pledge money to them, let alone all the other people in the community? And after working with them for these many months, I think they would have been successful virtually, but I'm glad we didn't have to test that, because it's a lot harder to say no when somebody's in front of you. And when you have that relationship and that face-to-face contact, I think it was a great addition and option for us that we were able to do that.
Andy, why don't you describe hybrid campaign? That's another term that may not be familiar to our listeners.
Well, so the hybrid campaign, it can mean a whole host of things, but in general, as you know, Jay, at Convergent, we like to customize each one of our engagements. So when I'm talking to potential clients, nonprofits that are looking to go out and raise money, we don't like to take a cookie cutter approach. So it's not, hey, you're a nonprofit, you need to raise money, we raise money, here's how you do it, and then that's it. It's all about finding out what the community is all about, learning about the organization, what their needs are, what the timeline is, what the budget is, how much you're trying to raise, and then try to figure out what would make the most sense in each community. In this case, we were on a timeline that was a bit compressed, so we just compacted the feasibility study into the front end of the campaign to have a little bit more of a seamless transition to where we did the feasibility study, we presented our findings and recommendations, and then you're basically continuing that forward momentum and easing into the quiet phase of the fundraising campaign. And the beginning part of the quiet phase was slowed down a little bit by having these stakeholder meetings and updating the plan. But that, I think, Bonnie, you would probably agree that taking that extra time and the 10 or 12 iterations of the plan, it's a work of art. And I think to an extent, once those key leaders, all the people that you talked about, the chancellor at KU and the others, they saw that final plan, they were like, oh boy, I will absolutely put my name behind it. And of course, the most important thing is that they're going to put a check behind it to help fund the plan as well. So, you know, taking that extra time really, I think, set things on fire once people saw that you listened and they got an opportunity to put their fingerprints all over it.
One of the things is Bonnie is very committed and the community saw that. Bonnie had the chance to attend some of the meetings, but she wanted to ensure that when we sat across from someone that her, especially a large potential investor, that someone from the team was present because she wanted to be held accountable, their organization. And I think that goes a long way because Bonnie will tell you directly, she said in meetings, you know, we want to be held accountable, hold our feet to the fire as an organization, because our goal is to improve the community.
A deliberative process and how important it is not to shortchange that process. And did you feel any pressure from any of your board members, Bonnie, or members, potentially investors about, gosh, how come this isn't going faster? Or where's the money? Any of those kind of reactions at all?
I pushed myself pretty hard and I pushed the Convergent team pretty hard. And they were very receptive. And at some point I'd backtrack and ask for their advice or messaging. And they were extremely professional. They didn't say, I told you we should have waited an extra week or two. So it was really an enjoyable process, but I felt I put urgency on myself, which translated onto Paul. So the fact that Paul's still speaking to me, I take as a success, but it was I didn't feel a lot of pressure from our group, but people were greatly engaged. I wasn't the best person to make all the calls. I did some, but there are other people that raised their hand and they wanted to be called on. They wanted to be asked, please let me go in these meetings. I'm interested in hearing the thoughts for business owners, seeing how Paul presents the plan and adding where I can. And we took those people up on it. I think it was a different campaign this time than 5 years ago, because we, in my opinion, effectively used our leadership. So everybody was a bunch of horses. You kind of had to hold back, but I think we're all pulling in the same direction at the same time.
That must have made it more fruitful for you, Paul, when you were on those solicitation meetings, to have that volunteer with you on those major requests.
Oh, most definitely. And Bonnie's leadership, it was just tremendous. Again, it goes back to what we mentioned a little bit earlier. They put a plan together that people wanted to put their name behind. They're coming out of this pandemic. They want the community to succeed. So our volunteer leadership was some of the best I've ever experienced. People were reaching out to me, what can I do to help? Leadership goes a long way, not only from our client, but from the leadership and the volunteer leadership in the community. When you have that, you will be successful.
Were there any notable challenges? This sounds like the dream campaign.
The biggest challenge in my mind, what was going to happen with the pandemic? What are people comfortable meeting in person, with masks, without masks? seeing somebody's face, I think, is in person is can be a positive. So what was going to happen when the Delta variant came along? Something like that that was out of our control was something that was a concern for me. But actually, looking back, I wouldn't have changed anything. I'm very pleased with the process.
We want to definitely have a stretch goal and that we're not, setting the bar too low, but also we're not promising a number that is unachievable that we may not hit, that everybody has egg on their face at the end of the campaign. So it was interesting in that we did the feasibility study. Like I said, the plan resonated well, but there was still just an appetite within the community that, boy, we could go big. Boy, we could really do something a little bit bolder, a little bit bigger. But we're in the middle of a pandemic. And so the feedback from the financial indications was good, but it wasn't great, like over the top, that the potential was going to be significant. But not knowing how sometimes clients react to our advice, to be very candid, they may go in a completely different direction and not listen and not update the plan like the feedback that we're getting. And we just don't know where we're going to end up. So to me, the highest stress point was putting together an aggressive target that we knew that we could hit, knowing that we'd have to line up all the planets just perfect to get to that $2.5 million number. Bonnie was and her team were not to be denied. The leadership did get behind it. And yes, everything worked out in the end.
I was surprised about the number and the significant amount of dollars contributed by the automotive industry, and specifically auto dealers. What was the secret to your campaign in that regard?
Definitely strong leadership. 5 years ago, that group raised a significant amount of funds for Peasley Technical School to be dedicated for automotive lab and training. Same group got together and had a conversation. We need to enhance what they're doing at Peasley, the automotive industry. We benefit from selling more cars in a robust community and the expansion of economic development. It was amazing what they did. And they and our university and our local hospital and a handful of others made a difference in this campaign.
We recently spoke to the Association of Chamber of Commerce Executive President Sherry Ann Kelly about how many chambers are adapting to become more and more transformational in their approach versus transactional. Are you seeing that, Bonnie? How do you think the funds raised in your Rising Together campaign will assist your organization in that regard?
Well, Sherry Ann's a dear friend, and she's very smart and intuitive, and I agree with her comments. As a chamber and as a business community and our business and personal lives, we're all learning to adapt. And today is different than yesterday. Tomorrow is going to be different than today. And it's something that's our new, our lifestyle. And if you don't adapt, then there's going to be struggles in your life. So our plan, we talked about the housing and land development, workforce is important, and there's a childcare element. So there's some things in our plan that probably aren't typical chamber activities. And so that has changed considerably from 5 years ago. I feel some of that is a result of the pandemic and some of the challenges that we've all been through the last 18 months. And some is just the right thing to do. So we've expanded. We have a lot of energy. We talk about our team and our influence on our stakeholders. And I can't emphasize that enough, that their experiences made our good plan a great plan.
That's Bonnie Lowe, the CEO of the Chamber, Lawrence, Kansas. They have conducted a successful $2.5 million capital campaign, Rising Together. Our guests also included Convergent Principal Andy Coe and Senior Project Director Paul Santiago. Go to the Convergent Nonprofit Solutions website. Click on the tab Resources. We have a library of podcasts for you to enjoy and to learn. For Convergent Nonprofit Solutions, I'm Jay Wirth. Thanks for listening.